tuning in to episode 107 of the Overseas Connection. We are your official G4TE.com community podcast. That's GATE for short, if you like. Today is March 15th, 2011, and I'm your host, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law. Joining me this week, Mr. On Time, as usual, CPM Matthew.
Hello, everyone. Chris Matthew, CP Matthew, Xbox Live, CP Matthew, everywhere else. And let's get going.
Let's get going. I do have to do a quick apology, Chris. I think I threw an extra M into your name there.
It's okay. I just put it down to that stuttering problem that you have.
I do. CP, me and the king.
CP,
We like it, CP.
No, Skull.
Oh, why don't we just introduce Mr. Richard Primrose?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm wide awake. Let's do this. Red Bull in hand. Let's go.
Thank God. And also this week, Mr. Mike Chin.
Stuart from the Veteran Gamers was very disgusted that you left that in the show last week, Greg. And then I said, well, you obviously confused Greg with someone who edits the show. Because he does. What happens stays in. It's raw, people. It's raw.
We're doing it live.
I really do. Yeah, I really do try to keep it as honest a representation of our conversation and the flow of the show as much as possible.
That's a fluffy way of saying can't be arsed.
Yeah. It is a very fluffy way of saying I don't have the time. Yeah. But also, it's nice to actually get the podcast out the next day.
Yep.
Unlike, you know, a week.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Mike, I think we should just start talking about what we've been playing.
Cool.
What you been playing? What you been playing? What you been playing? What have you been playing?
Alrighty, so this week, Mike, I'm going to have you start us off.
Not very often I start.
No, you don't. You don't start very often. And there's two games in particular that you have on your list that I think they need to be talked about. Not necessarily in length for one of them, need to be talked about.
I'm going
to
break the fourth wall a little bit because we have Google Docs on our in front of us. Apart from Chris, that's probably not looking at the notes, but... it says what you've been playing, then we have our names and what we've been playing, right? But also right. Next to it, it says, you retards aren't actually playing a demo for a movie tie-in, are you? Will you never learn? Lol. Nope. And that movie tie-in game is Battlefield LA.
Yep, Battle for LA. I tried it too.
Awful.
Yeah, it was a very quick.
This is the meeting, okay? This is the meeting. We need a game. We need a game for this film. We don't really want you to work too hard on it. You know, what's that Call of Duty thing? What's that? Oh, it's like a first person. Do it like that, but with aliens. How long you got? 2 weeks. Go on, Lil. Make a game. Go on, and that's it. It's like a very. It must have took 2 weeks to make.
I would agree.
It's just like they're trying to be Call of Duty, but with two aliens in it, and it's not very good. I suppose it doesn't look terrible, but it just handles terrible, and it's so boring. The cutscenes look like there's bad 80s cartoons.
You know what they reminded me of? 80s safety videos.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, like, like say Lieutenant Smith. He's a hardball. He doesn't take any shit from anyone. And it looked like a Monty Python cartoon. It was unbelievably, ridiculously, like stupid looking. I was like, him. He just looked like he could just find his head if he had to scratch it. You know, and it was just ridiculous. And
here's how bad that game was for me. I actually was looking forward to seeing the movie, but after playing the game now, I want nothing to do with it. I can wait for a DVD.
Pretty bad. I've also heard bad things about the film, which is
yeah. I it was one of those things where I wanted to be excited for it, but just couldn't get behind it.
I thought you would have watched it by now.
No. No.
But whatever.
You got mixed in it.
Okay, so the next... game I played was Torchlight. Now, Torchlight is a game that I have no nostalgia for, I have no knowledge of, I have nothing. It's just absolutely blank. Nothing, no relation to it at all. So I went in this absolutely blind. The list is going down. Hang on. Everyone's typing. I don't like it. It's a bit shit and boring to me. I just couldn't be bothered. The menu system is too intense. There's too much going on. I kind of got it there, and then I heard Stu and Duke talking about it, and they was talking about things I never even knew was there. I just can't. It's just an investment I just can't be bothered in. I didn't think it was that particularly that fun. I'm sure the fun is in leveling up and stuff and finding new items, but I really didn't like it that much, so not for me. I know it's a polished game; it all works okay. I think the menus are clunky for a console game, but I'm sure people who like that stuff will enjoy it, but not for me at all. Nothing. I did not like it at all. Won't play it. No. Torchlight. No.
Okay. Wow. Well, Mr. Primrose, I believe you played the Torchlight demo.
Did.
And Mr. Matthew, I believe all of us played the Torchlight demo. So let's have some other individuals weigh in here.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Now, you enjoyed, and I can't. The name is escaping me right now, but we were just talking about it. Was it Thongs of Virtue?
The one before the first Death Bank. Played that.
Death Bank. Yeah, thank you. Yes.
All the way through to the end, and this is like a souped-up version of that, on the same sort of lines as Diablo. I too like Mike, and not much of a sword and sorcery person. Although I did read the books when I was younger, but I'd never thought that anything really transferred onto video games very well. Woo. Dragon Age 2 coming soon. I'll be talking about that. Torchlight. I liked it. I like that sort of cartoony, simplistic style of play, and then all of the inventory stuff is quite cool to play around with.
So. Okay, Mr. Matthew, what about you? What were your impressions on Torchlight?
I had a good time with it.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry, yeah, my phone's ringing. What do you want to do?
It's me. I'm ringing you. Yeah.
Yeah. You want to know what I think about Torchlight? Is that why you're calling me?
Yeah.
It's an expensive call, man, for all the way.
Yeah, from, I know. I value that. I value your conversation.
Transatlantic telegraph wire. I only got up to like level 5 or whatever on the demo, so I didn't play it for a really long time, but it seemed like something I would enjoy. It seemed like maybe if we could get a few folks together, I think it has like a co-op, right?
No.
That's no?
The big sticking point. Yeah. That's what.
No co-op.
Yep.
Then my
Torchlight 2 is supposed to have co-op, not this one.
Because the dev was on Giant Bomb this week, and he was quite cool, actually, because he was giving away things. You know, he wasn't being coy about anything. They're doing it now. They're getting it ready, and it will have co-op in it. So, yeah.
So my opinion on that may have changed a bit. I was having fun with it. It would definitely be more fun with co-op, and I'll probably play it because there's not a whole lot else out right now that I'm all that interested in. But I like those dungeon crawling, packing and slashing and spamming bad guys kind of games. So it's just like you said, Greg, it reminded me a lot of Sacred 2, which I also enjoyed. So I enjoyed it.
Excellent.
Looting.
Looting is good. So, Mr. Chen, is that it for you?
I played Undead Nightmare.
Undead Nightmare.
Mm.
You want to talk about that at all?
Yeah, it was good. It was really good. I enjoyed it. I thought it ended. I originally said it was too short, but Stu said it ends quite abruptly, and I think that's more accurate. Like, it does end like it's finished. Oh, okay. Because usually Rockstar games build up to the end, but this didn't. Just look, no, end now.
Done.
It's a great service to the fans. I think anybody who hasn't played it or and they love Red Dead Redemption, you'd be mad not to. So. I loved it, yeah. Yeah. I haven't said anything silly for a while, so...
it's okay.
Bottom fish bananas. There you go. So, keep that going.
Okay.
Yep.
Why don't we roll over to Mr. Richard Primrose, because I know he is dying to talk about a couple games, in particular, at least Dragon Age 2, we know for sure.
Yes, I played the demo for Dragon Age 2, and confusing, help, lots of things going on, can't control everybody at the same time. How do I do this? Somebody give me guidelines. It's like Mass Effect 2, yeah, nice, cover, yeah, get behind cover, work out strategy, send them to kill people, but this, you can't do that. How do I do it? Somebody tell me.
Okay, so I'm going to dispel that little misnomer real quickly. There actually is a lot more tactical strategy to Dragon Age 2 than there is in Mass Effect 2. Mass Effect 2, you can, in essence, kind of send them to waypoints. I take it back. You still can basically tell them you want them to fire off a special shot, that kind of thing. It all works relatively the same way in Dragon Age 2. You bring up the pause wheel for your character if you wanted to do a specific spell or something like that. You then can switch between characters using the right bumper. It'll stay paused as long as you're in the pause screen. One of the things that I like doing with Dragon Age 2 is switching the controls up to where when you click the left trigger, instead of having to hold it to keep things paused,
yeah,
it's a toggle.
Yeah, and
you can
hear that.
You can, yeah. So when you toggling makes it much easier. You don't accidentally unpause the action type thing. And then you can just switch to the different characters, tell them to do what you want them to do. You can even tell them to move to a certain area. You just have to basically select move to a point, and it's on the wheel, and then a little icon pops up, and you can kind of scroll it around on the ground and basically kind of dictate where you want that character to move to. And the game, the way it's designed, there's a little confusion in the inner design of the game, in that they've tried to make it very actiony, and they certainly have done that with the combat and the way it works, because it's all, you know, you're kind of button mashing to get your combos and your fighting going. But the core element of the game is much more about pausing, giving orders, letting action happen, pausing, giving orders, letting action happen. And I think the game is more enjoyable played that way, because I think you get a more satisfying feeling of you're utilizing all the spells of the party and you're utilizing all the different characters pretty well. Instead of just playing the one character and never doing anything with anybody else. So,
yeah, I was trying to get into that and sharing out the points that you was getting and stuff. And also you can send out your medicine to other people and stuff, can't you? But so what you're saying is you should be playing it stop and started with this toggle sort of strategy. But the way that it's set up in the game, it seems like you're trying to play it free flowing and there's too much going on. It was just at the end with the ogre battle, it was just
combat is super fast if you're not pausing.
Mm-hmm.
And things can go south really fast if you're not pausing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why the original Dragon Age, of course, was much more, even more so about pausing and giving orders and playing. So it is one of my kind of gripes with this game. And I do now see where a lot of some of the nitpicking was coming in on Dragon Age 2 reviews, and kind of how a lot of reviewers were not just even the combat itself, but there's other things within the game, and I guess we can talk about it now. In terms of the maps and the way they've redesigned everything, it all kind of has a more futuristic look to it, if you will. I mean, in the original Dragon Age, for instance, on the map screen, it was this huge, map of the world. And you had kind of icons, and it basically looked like it was a hand-drawn map, something you would find, in the olden days. And basically you would travel to and fro on that map. and you would see kind of a representative icon of your travel happening on the map. And it gave you a sense of you were traveling to these distant places and you were actually going somewhere. In Dragon Age 2, the map has been redesigned to be, in a sense, kind of three slides that you use the triggers to go between. And there's the city, and it's either city daytime or city nighttime. And then there is a map of a mountain.
Yeah.
And those are, you know, basically the three maps you're ever going to use. You're never going to go outside of those locations. And when you want to travel to somewhere, you just kind of take your cursor and highlight one of the locations and you hit go and you're boom, you're there. You never get a sensation of like, I'm adventuring, I'm traveling somewhere. Mm. And so I really think they kind of missed the boat in doing it this way. It's overly simplified.
Yeah,
the
bits that I saw as well, it just seemed like the paths were just dead linear and you couldn't venture. It's not like Fallout. And I know it's not meant to be like a sandboxy type open
right.
thing, but it just seemed as if everything was like a channeled path with banks on the side of it and you couldn't go anywhere else. It was
that's similar to how Dragon Age the original Dragon Age was.
Yeah.
It was definitely kind of linear in the different dungeons and stuff that you would go into. So, I mean, I'm not terribly put off to that. What I am a little put off to is that they've kind of – basically the entire game is happening in the city of Kirkwall. And there's a little bit of it going on outside of Kirkwall, at least so far for me. But most of it all takes place within the city. And the city itself, they're reutilizing areas constantly. Mm. And so you start getting this sensation of, well, I've already been here before. You know, nothing's feeling terribly new. You're not feeling very adventurous. The saving grace for this game, for me at least, really is all about the dialogue and the choices, because I'm seeing the influences and how things have shaped up. Just to give an example, in the original Dragon Age, there was a quest that involved werewolves, and I chose to side with the elves and killing off the werewolf king. And in this game, you come across a situation where there's a survivor and of the werewolves, and he's being confronted by the elves, and it just basically kind of It alludes back to the decisions that you made in the previous game. So it's one way that it's coming through. Anyway, I don't want to keep going on. I know I'm going on and on,
really?
And on about it.
You don't want to
hate
keep
you guys.
Joking.
I know. It still is a very big game, and there's a lot
I'm
to it.
I'm paying attention there because I like it, so I don't mind.
It's just I do see the chinks in the armor. No pun. Oh, pun intended, I guess.
Well, I'm a lot like Mike, and like I say, I'm the same as Mike. I had a dabble at Oblivion, and I never got into it, and I didn't really do much in it. So, but I've made myself a little promise that there's a load of RPGs coming out this year, so I'm going to be buying one of them. And the minute, based on that demo, I'll be sitting this one out, and I'll probably wait for Skyrim. But anyway. We'll see.
I'm more interested in Dragon Age than Bomberim, to be honest. So I don't know. I'll probably Dragon Age, but I need to play the first one. So I might be a while. Oh well.
Yeah, couple of years.
Couple of years. I'll get there.
All right, Mr. Primrose. What else? Let's finish up your list here of games.
Yes, I did the awful Battle LA demo. It could have been a Flash game. It would have been great as a Flash game. Forget the boxes. Forget Xbox Live Arcade. Let's put it on a Flash game. Crysis 2. I went back to that because I wanted to have a bash at the tweak version, and I never even bothered with the first one. I like the way it looks, and it does play decent enough. You've got a bit of the old Halo jumping going off there. But One of the things that surprised me, I noticed Duke was talking about it, and he really liked it. And the one thing that got me was something that Duke's commented on previously, and I can relate to what he said previously on this game. It doesn't feel like you're getting the contact when you're shooting stuff. In it. It's just...
What game are you talking about?
Crysis 2, you know?
Oh, Crysis 2. Well, I think that about Battlefield sometimes, but it doesn't really bother me too much.
No.
There's definitely some kind of delay when you shoot people in Battlefield. Whether it's not a delay on the hit, but a delay on the feedback. You know, that little log crossing. Yeah, yeah, so maybe it's that. I don't know.
Yeah, there's something similar about that. But I do... My opinion of the look of the game has changed. But the only reason I'm interested in that is for the single player. I don't feel anything about the multiplayer at the minute. I tried that peer map, which was pretty interesting. The way that you had the flooded area in the middle where you could go into the boat, the sunken boat and stuff. And yeah, that was fun. But I don't know. I'll rent it. That's as far as I'm going to commit on that. I did some Needed for Speed multiplayer with Dave Dog. That was a blast. Enjoying that still, and we did a bit of a cop some rubber chasing type playlists and some normal racing. And it's great. Loved it. Good game that. I think I'm gonna pick it up now. Have you got yours back yet, Mike?
Nope.
No, not yet. Okay. And also. A good laugh on Blops. The guys that I used to play with from the 035s when it had the squad system, they've all started playing tag along free for all. So basically, one person will jump in a free for all game, and the rest of everybody else has got to tag on and jump in. And we're all partied up and just taking a piss out of each other and trying to kill each other. And that was great. That was a good laugh. And Dead Space 2, comped it today, finished, done.
Really? Wow. How long did it take you?
I don't know. I think it's about... Is it about an 8-hour game, roughly? 8?
Okay.
9 maybe? Yeah.
I've got it. I've got it sitting next to me, but I still haven't put it in yet, so...
It's so good, man. It's so good.
Mike, your mom's not going to like it, though.
It's a true blockbuster game.
I just borrowed it back from her. Like, she'd been playing it...
Take this away from me, please.
It's fucking wicked. I'm looking forward to Dead Space, big time.
I'm keeping on my game saves because I've remembered all of the bits were really scary. And like I said, I am going to get comments off my mother, and I'm going to go back to the chapters that are really, really scary. But it's the things that you would want the original to improve on. Because this really was a bit of a sleeper, wasn't it? It was a bit like Batman, Arkham Asylum. It came out. But I can remember at the time, they were saying the same thing that they were saying about Alan Wake, with the fact that, you know, this game wasn't getting supported because it didn't get the sales and everything. But it did get, you know, it's had its sequel.
I think Dead Space's problem was that it was made by... That typing is unbelievably loud, by the way.
Yeah.
It was made by EA. Well, it was published by EA. And everybody kind of went, oh, they're just going to fuck it up, right? And they didn't. And I think that's what people were shocked by. But it didn't do brilliant. The first one didn't do amazing.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
It was a sleeper. I agree with that. Like, people wasn't expecting it to be good, but it was not only good, but really good. But it sounds like they've amped it up and done well. But they pushed this one big time. They must have known that the second one was going to be a lot better than the first, so they pushed it so hard. So and it's worked. It's paid off. Dead Space 3.
Some of the scenes and stuff that they've put into the game are really, it's the equivalent of watching like a top AAA movie. It's really, really good bits in there. And I really enjoyed what they've done with the weapons. I made a conscious effort to try and not touch the guns that I used in the first game. apart from the basic one that you get from the get-go, the plasma cutter. So I went out, and it's quite good in what it gives you. I think the way that it gives you ammunition and stuff through the game is really clever as well, because you start off from the beginning to the middle of the game, you've got an abundance of ammunition. You're not struggling at all. You're getting plenty of money in, and you can more or less pick and choose what you want to go with.
When you get plenty of money shop. Because the necromorphs eat money, right? And then you bash them, and then
yes.
They're, yeah,
that's
brilliant.
It, yeah.
That's handy, isn't it?
It's so much stomping going off in that game. It's unbelievable. Up to the middle point of the game, it's great. And then you kind of, when you've got your balance of what you want to use, it's as if the game consciously starts taking away the amount of ammunition you get, and then it starts turning into the survival horror type genre that you used to with, like Resident Evil and stuff. And there's some brilliant moments in it. Brilliant moments that, you know what, I'd love these guys to get their hands on, and I know they're really good at original IPs, but if somebody just, who's got it, Gearbox, if they just gifted them the license for the, you know, Colonial Marines, Aliens type thing, because these guys would do such a good job on it, they really would. But yeah, the weapons on it, awesome, loved it. I was having a bit of a debate with Greg about a certain aspect of the game which comes into play at the end.
Let's just say there's a differing opinion about whether or not one of the decisions the developers make in terms of how they're going to, in a sense, ramp up the difficulty, if it's a brilliant idea or if it was a cheap tactic.
I really liked it, and I'm not going to go and spoil what it is, but what I was saying with like this declining effect of what you've got, where you've got an abundance of ammunition, then it gradually goes down. Well, basically, the put this into like a peak right towards the end of the game, and it just throws upon you the feeling of desperation so much. And I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. But when Mike gets to play it, we'll see what he has to say about it.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get Mr. Matthew to play it too, and then we can have a spoiler podcast about Dead Space too.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't even played Dead Space, so fat chance.
Well, you can play Dead Space 2 and get caught up, because they do a little kind of a prequel, little movie thing to catch you kind of up to speed on what happened.
Previously on Dead Space.
It's a good story as well.
Previously, in this heinous, atrocious universe that your mother will hate.
Yeah, okay, you already know the story.
I'll get to some Dead Space right now. Ship goes to investigate some large necromorphs. He's looking for his wife. Turns out, like, she's kind of dead, but she's not. There's a marker thing. Apparently that started the necromorphs. But he turns out alive at the end. So, there you go. Play two.
Dead Space. Done.
Beautiful. All right.
Mr. Primrose, anything else?
No, that's more or less it, I think. Move on.
Moving on. Mr. Matthew.
Mr. I know DeLacy.
And we touched on Torchlight, but I believe there's some little something else on the old playlist there.
Well, I tried Torchlight on the 360. I keep meaning to get over to Best Buy and grab Dragon Age 2 or something to play, something new. I just realized I haven't bought a new game in like 6 months.
Wow. That's pretty good for you.
It's not, though, because it kind of makes me irrelevant as far as gaming podcasting goes. But anyway. I'm fairly irrelevant anyway. But I've still been playing some games on the iPad because
is an emerging gaming platform.
It is. And actually, the developer of Angry Birds was quoted as saying that console games are dying. So apparently they believe that mobile devices such as the iPhone, iPad, Galaxy Tab, Android phones, etc., are going to kill the gaming consoles. So the gauntlet has been thrown down. But anyway, I've been continuing to play Virtual City, which I talked about previously, so I won't spend too much time on. And then a friend of mine, while I was home in Florida this weekend, introduced me to a little gym called Stupid Zombies, which is fun just because it's called Stupid Zombies, really. But it's
now, are the zombies really stupid?
Well, they
or?
Don't move, so yes. So you had, you know, the Angry Birds, right? And you had the little slingshot,
right,
and you shoot the birds. So this is a similar sort of deal, except rather than slingshotting the birds and having to get the trajectory right, your little dude is in the bottom left corner, and the zombies are arrayed throughout the screen, and you have a shotgun or a rifle. You have a rifle. And so you shoot the rifle, and it bounces off the walls, and so you have to get the angles of reflection right to get all the different zombies. So it's sort of similar to Angry Birds. You know, you get points for destroying the environment, and you get points for having bullets left over at the end of the stage, etc.
Does the shotgun have like a spread and multiple bullets?
No, that's why I corrected myself to call it a rifle.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
No, I only played a little bit of it because I got the free version. I haven't decided if I'm going to plonk down some money for the full version yet. But
Trish, I've got a recommendation for you.
Okay.
Have a bash at Cut the Rope.
Oh, it's a brilliant game.
The
That's
rope.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Cut the Rope.
Cut you the like Rope. It. What about Cut the Cheese?
That Cut the can also be fun. Sure.
Cut the Rope,
sure.
He's a lot of fun. I've played that. Yeah, it's great.
Here's my question for you. How much is Stupid Zombies?
You know, I'd have to look. I want to say it's like $4.
Okay, so you're debating $4.
Hey.
I told you, man. The freaking App Store is bankrupting me.
Dangerous.
$2 at a time.
Would you pay $4 for a Coke?
No.
If I was thirsty enough, yes.
Exactly.
Anyway, I'm just giving you a hard time. No, I totally get that. It is one of the dangers of these handheld devices, is that you can, you know, they're cheap. What's even worse is when you can link it to your cell phone bill.
Ooh.
And just click on yes, and then it just charges your cell phone bill.
No, I'd much rather have it come out of my credit card. Yeah, Stupid Zombies is $3. I just looked it up.
Okay, so, see, it's getting more affordable as we
speak. That's fine.
Maybe I'll go ahead, because I would pay $3 for a Coke, so maybe I will go get Stupid Zombies. but yeah, that's it. Short list for me. I've been traveling this week, and maybe I'll share more stories of my travels later if the occasion presents itself. I had some fun. Anyway.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Foreshadowing.
Oh, yeah, Florida, right?
Up on that.
I was in Florida, yes.
Brilliant. I've been there.
Have you?
I have been there too.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Great.
Yeah. Cool. That's okay. That moving on. Yeah. Florida. Been there. Done.
The readers are great. Florida.
So let's wrap it up with myself. Dragon Age 2, of course, we already talked about.
Do
the wonderful
wrap yourself up, Greg.
Battle for LA, we also discussed at length. I mean, honestly, give it way more time than it deserves.
Yep.
And I have it possibly could be my like new love. I gotta admit, Homefront. Picked it up today.
Yeah.
I threw it in. Now I'm gonna be upfront and say I understand and can easily see where some of the criticism for Homefront's coming from.
And what is the criticism? I haven't.
Some of the biggest criticism it's getting is twofold. One, it's an extremely short single player campaign.
Is it good though? That's the thing. Is it good?
Well, so far, yes.
Okay.
But I haven't spent a ton of time in the single player. But so the criticism is short single player campaign, basically about 5 hours.
That's not that short. It is short, but Call of Duty is 5 hours.
Yeah.
Well,
so
not Black Ops. I think Black Ops is a little bit longer, but Modern Warfare 2 is 5 hours ish. Easy.
Right, and that was kind of the way I was looking at it too, but. You know, it's a legitimate complaint.
Okay.
Graphically, this game is not the you know, it's not a Blops, it's not a nope. Killzone 3
well,
or
God's Fear of the War wasn't at the time graphically like ahead of anything else, but no, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. So the graphics definitely, you know, they're not going to be winning this game in the awards.
Uh-huh.
That all said, I fired up the single player and basically got through probably about 15, 20 minutes into it just to get a good flavor for it. I have to say, I was immediately like pulled in and just like very interested in what was going on in the opening cutscene and kind of getting the game started. It is one of the more I'm trying to think of the right way to put it. I mean, you remember the mission, No Russians?
Yeah.
And how that was, you know, kind of controversial because it's so, you know, inhumane how they're doing that. This had kind of a similar feel in one respect in that you see some very horrific things, but it had such a different feeling to me. You're basically watching as people are being herded along and basically just kind of beaten and tortured by the invading force. And it genuinely stirred emotion in me seeing things happening. And there's one scene in particular that, you know, a mother and father are executed in front of their baby. And baby, I mean, probably like a 3-4-year-old, you know, little boy.
You won't remember.
Yeah, but I mean, it left that image in my head.
Was it Batman? And
it was Batman.
Because his mom and dad got killed in front of him, right?
Yeah, similar kind of emotion.
Oh, okay.
It really, though, it kind of stirs that sense of,
I'll say
patriotism, and just like you want to just kill at that point.
Yeah.
And so you get into the single player and, I mean, I'm not going to say it's anything earth-shatteringly new so far in terms of the gameplay mechanics are all very Call of Duty.
Yeah.
The gunplay, the sound effects, the, you know, everything feels good. With the graphics taken into consideration, I find the single player absolutely fun. You know, if I was expecting Killzone 3 graphics, then I suppose I would be disappointed. But I wasn't, and I'm more than happy with what the graphic level that they're doing. I think they used Unreal 3 Engine, if I'm not mistaken. But it feels like one of the older versions of it, so it's not, you know, pristine and beautiful looking like, you know, Gears of War 3 is going to be looking. It looks kind of more maybe on the level of maybe kind of Gears of 1-ish.
Okay.
And then I stopped there. As soon as I saw it, because it does auto saves in the single player, so I saw it saved. I stopped. I jumped into multiplayer. And, wow, I am really impressed. They use dedicated servers. It's up to 32 players.
They know what they're doing. That's where they came from. They made mods from Battlefield maps, and that's how they made Frontlines. So they know what they're doing multiplayer was.
Yeah, so it is kind of a cross between Call of Duty and Battlefield Bad Company.
Okay.
Sure. Throw in some metal before. There's no destructible environment that I can tell at all. But you have vehicle play and you have just a wealth of different kind of unlocks. They utilize a perk system. They utilize attachments. And what's interesting is they utilize this thing called battle points. And I don't know if any of you guys have actually heard any of the or seen any of the videos. I know, Mike, I was preaching about it earlier, but I don't know how much you saw. The battle point system, basically, as you're playing in the game and you're racking up kills, you're earning what they call battle points. And battle points, then you can turn around and use kind of like in-game currency during the match to call in, say, a tank or a drone. And when you call in a vehicle, it puts you into the vehicle right away. So unlike Battlefield Bad Company, and this is one of the things Skull and I were talking about earlier, one of the most aggravating things, you get into that match and it starts up and everybody runs to the vehicles, and if there's a helicopter there and you're not on, you know, your A game, the helicopter's gone and you don't get to fly the helicopter until somebody crashes it and they, you know, eventually respawns.
Yeah.
This, you spawn your vehicle, it puts you right into it, and you don't have to worry about trying to make it to the vehicle at the right time or whatever. The environments have a lot of cover to them. They have buildings. They're big. You don't feel like it's a Twitch Fest shooter, but you're also not bullet sponges either, which I love. So, you know, it only takes a few shots and you'll go down, similar to how it happens in Battlefield.
Okay.
but you can see, you know, you see the enemy coming. You're usually not going to be like walking around a corner and just walking right into somebody unless, you know, you happen to get into real close quarters. Typically speaking, you know, and you'll be kind of aware of the situation, and you definitely play together in squad-like environments. If you go off on your own, you'll be able to lone wolf for a little bit.
But you'll get killed.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And the other cool thing, which I didn't actually experience this gameplay mode, there's basically kind of two standard modes of like occupation and then team deathmatch. And then there's a battle commander mode where it basically will take the different gameplay modes and kind of switch them up.
Okay.
But it'll also call out, so you have like these artificial, you know, AI commanders that if somebody is on an exceptionally long kill streak.
Right.
So let's say they start, you know, they get like four or five kills in a row, yeah. They're racking up battle points. It'll actually call out to a select number of people on the opposing force
to kill,
or on your turn to kill that
to
person.
To kill, so like you get put up,
and they get
on the hit list kind of thing, yeah?
Yeah, you're on the hit list, and they mark you on the map.
Oh, wow. They mark you on the map. That's a bit harsh, man. Yeah. Jeez.
So it's hard. So, like, you know, if you're sitting up there sniping and camping, then, okay, you know, you get off a few kills, but now you're going to have to defend yourself. You're not going to be able to just continually sit up there and continue to snipe and continue to go on. It also lets you go prone and lay flat. You know, unlike, you know, the Battlefield games, which, again, I like. I like the fact that a sniper can actually lay down and snipe. And there's just there's a lot to it. And I was very impressed. No lag at all. Hit detection, shooting felt great. And the vehicles, it was really cool because, you know, I could spawn my own vehicle. But if I had enough battle points, I could spawn into if somebody else on the map – say, called up a Humvee vehicle, I can spawn into their vehicle and jump into the gunner seat.
Oh, that's good. That's pretty good. I like that.
And being a gunner in the Humvee was awesome.
Yeah.
Because that gun just felt very, very satisfying.
You feel like God.
I did for a little while. Racked up a few kills. And
I heard that's what God does on his weekends.
He does. Yeah. He does.
Any idea about how many maps you get? Is it like
there are
big and you don't get as many as you would on Call of Duty?
There are 8 different maps.
Yeah.
The Xbox version has one of the maps called Suburb is exclusive to the 360 for now.
Take that, PS3R. Yeah. Stick your PS3 up your ass.
I do believe that map is going to eventually become available to the PS3. But I know that any future DLC maps are going to be timed exclusive for the 360.
Are they all timed?
Yeah.
Stupid. Well, I suppose it does. I don't know. Like, if you got a PS3, what difference is it going to make? You know?
It's not going to make a difference to a PS3-only owner. Where I think the strategy comes in for Microsoft when they do these kind of deals is they're looking for the guy that owns both consoles. They want him to buy the 360 version.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why would you buy the PS3 version if you knew you could get all the new maps quicker, sooner, faster?
I don't know. I don't know how many people have both. I really don't.
I don't know either.
We're all freaks, so we don't count. But
right.
Every time I also, like, speak to someone who plays games but doesn't like follow them, they only have one. You know? So I don't know if that works.
It very well may not. Who knows?
But they're bundling Homefront in the UK with Xboxes and stuff, so they're pushing it big time here, so maybe they're trying to start, with it.
I'll also say this, if you're on the fence about it, and I know, Chris, we talked about it, and it was a game that you're kind of like, I'm more interested in the single player, and if it's that short, I'm probably not going to want to spend $60 on it. And I get that.
That's what I said.
Yeah, I totally get that. What I liked about this was that if you are one of those people that rents games, it still lets you play the multiplayer. It just caps you at level 5. So you'll be able to unlock a couple things. You'll
really?
Be able to play
it caps
them.
You at level 5?
Yes.
Because you got to have the stupid online pass.
Yeah, they've got an online pass.
Well, it looks like I'm level 5 then.
Yeah.
But to me, that's one of those things where it's like, okay, well, it at least allows you to get in and get a flavor for it.
It's not a terrible idea. Because when I play, when I rank games, I'm not going to play the multiplayer for very long. I just want to check it out or something.
It's one of the things that frustrates me about EA. It's like, well, you have a 7-day trial pass, and as soon as you hit go, unless you're on that thing constantly, you know, that kind of goes to waste.
Yeah, so, 2-day on Need for Speed Hot Pursuit.
Even worse. Homefront
gives me the feeling that if I wait 2 months, I reckon it'll be like half the price, brand new.
Yeah.
I kind of get that feeling.
It probably will be, but nobody will be playing it, yeah. Well, at least nobody on our websites.
Greg will.
No,
I very well may.
No, you won't. Stop lying.
Stop.
Yeah. See, and this is what I hate. And I'm not saying I hate you, Chris. Well, I do.
Yeah, you do. It's
but
okay.
There has become such a jaded viewpoint towards new IPs, you know, because Blops has been so popular. And I get it. People are going to continue to play Blops, and it's going to be the go-to game for the whole year until basically either Battlefield 3 unseats it or the next Call of Duty comes out. And people are, you know, something like, well, I'm not willing to try this, you know, this new game because nobody's going to play.
Battlefield is looking good, though.
2 months. It is looking very good. Yeah. It is.
I've got a little story for you.
Okay.
I'm going to lean back for this story. Go on, Tommy.
I'm
going to fall asleep during this story.
No, don't do it.
You're talking about Homefront and people picking it up and doing the multiplayer thing. It is cool. And there are people that do that. And I know, like, the guys that I play Black Ops with, a couple of them, when I was on at the weekend, it was, oh, who's getting Homefront then? Who's getting Homefront? And there was two of them that basically said, yeah, I'm getting it. And 2 weeks before, I can remember him saying, oh, yeah, I'm getting Bulletstorm. So first thing I said after they said they were getting Homefront was, so how are you getting on with that Bulletstorm then in the multiplayer? I've not been playing it. I've been on Black Ops.
Yep. They always go back to Blops.
So to finish off, I want to know what Greg's thoughts are on the multiplayer because... I'd really like to pick this up, and I do think there's a gap for it. I know that it might not be the best multiplayer at the moment, but it is filling a good slot because you've got a while before the wartime FPS has come back in. So
the only multiplayer game that I really like playing is. Did you hear that or not?
Yes, we heard.
Yes,
that.
Brilliant. I'm just checking because we're having trouble with the recording, aren't we? But yeah, that's the only one that I mean, I do like Call of Duty, but it's usually that kind of dominates. I enjoy that more.
Well, I think the problem that Battlefield ran into, and the reason why it. Reason why it didn't have the longevity is that it didn't have a good upgrade and perk system.
It's good, but it's advancing. It's decent.
But it's not great.
It's not as clear as Black Ops, is it? It's not so in your face.
It wasn't as in depth. Yeah. You didn't have many options. You didn't have as much choice.
I don't care if it, like what's this obsession with people with choice?
That's what gets people hooked.
Blops is crowded with choice. I don't want this choice.
That's why it's popular.
But I don't. They shove it in your face. They go, you are level 34. You have these things. The Battlefield is like, well, you level something. I don't know. Have a look. You know, and that's why. I forgot the stop button for that game. And it's got a better song as well, but I don't have it.
I think the problem with Battlefield really was that they never brought out any new maps.
It's the maps. It's not just the maps that are released. It's the start point of the maps. The need to get... Well, we've had this conversation before.
Yeah.
You need to get a good base of maps in there to start off with. But you say that it didn't have the longevity. Look at where it is. It was out at the beginning of last year, And it's got a massive following still.
I shouldn't say it didn't have the longevity. Certainly it still has a lot of people playing. It never reached the levels of Call of Duty. And to do that, I think to get Call of Duty unseated, you have to not only bring your A game when it comes to shooting and, you know, and the mechanics, but you have to have a lot of stuff that people are going to want to collect and work towards and in a sense feel like they're gaining things from.
You have to be something pretty bloody unique to be any sort of COD game. I mean, I was reading today, was talking about it at work. Black Ops has earned billions and billions of pounds. It's out-earned Michael Jackson's Thriller album. It's out-earned Titanic the movie. As far as a media product's concerned, it's absolutely massive.
Now, Rich?
And actually toppling that is... It's a big ask.
I totally get that. I want you to save those thoughts for a little later. All right.
Yeah.
Let's move off what we've been playing. I think it is time we talk news.
Have I just spoiled some news?
And this is the news of the week.
No, Mr. Primrose, we call that foreshadowing. Foreshadowing, okay. Not spoiling. Foreshadowing.
I mean, all right, but fuck it up.
Damn it.
Aye. News. Fucking
Rich.
News.
Give me some news.
Yeah, okay. Notice I didn't spoil the story that I got.
3D TV is screwed. Next.
Yeah. Yeah, them pesky Koreans that we're all feeling a grudge against at the minute because we're playing home front.
Is it true that the Chinese version is Canada invaded America? Is that right?
That I don't know. I would laugh my butt off if that was the fact.
I have some kind of vast source of information in front of me that I could like search.
Yes, only. Anyway, back to 3D TV.
Yeah, so anyway, the giant Korean electronics consumer, Samsung, have actually put...
Are they Korean, really? I didn't know that at all.
Yes, they are Korean, yeah. Koreans make good screens, yeah. So they've basically put a kick in the teeth for... The 3D world as it is, by saying that it's going to be very difficult to release a glasses-free 3D television within the next 10 years, which it's not bad news for anybody that's got an Xbox at the moment because nobody's really developing it, but it's something I think a lot of people are holding off for. I know a lot of people don't like the idea of wearing glasses, for general watching of TV, and they wouldn't probably want to commit to the amount of money that it costs for one until such a time when you could get one that wouldn't require glasses. What they're saying is at an R&D level, you could produce one within 5 years, but to get it into manufacturing levels, and obviously you'd have to bring the cost down and everything, you'd be looking at about 10 years. So
that's pretty funny if you ask me, because just back at CES, Toshiba actually had a glasses-free 3D TV on display, a widescreen, as a matter of fact, a big screen, I should say. They're coming to market, I believe, this year with a 20-inch 3D glasses-free 3D TV. What this really sounds like to me is Samsung's late to the game on this. They were really kind of hedging their bets that it was just going to be the glasses technology that was going to be the way to go. And suddenly they got with their, you know, kind of got caught with their pants down and
whoops.
At CES.
Or possibly, when you look at what you're saying there, with them bringing a 20-inch television out, you'd be looking at being close to the television, not having so much of an issue with the angles and stuff, which is what they were saying was one of the biggest problems with it. If you're looking at bringing out a 42-inch television that's going to have to be in a big room and be able to show that 3D... at least 3 meters, then that might be where your problem lies. So
possibly.
I can't see them making the claims without having some sort of foundation in their R&D. And I think
Oh, I can. I don't trust Koreans at all anymore.
That's it.
Just kidding, Steve-O. Okay, so Glasses Free 3, I can't even say it. Let's just move on. Next story. Boom, done.
Hold on.
Yes.
Wait.
Sorry,
I've got to apologize, but...
What you been playing?
Yeah, I played the 3DS. I forgot about that.
So you want to tie this into 3D?
The 3D.
TVs.
See what I did? Slowly, I put it up there. The 3DS is... It works. It's quite impressive. It's typical Nintendo. The concept is immediately attractive, but will get boring after a while.
Right? Yeah, it needs to have something more than just 3D to
well,
succeed.
Think about it. The Wii, instantly attractive to people that don't really play games. The DS, instantly attractive. The 3DS, it's their thing. They're really good at it. You know, the brain training thing. You know, like, oh yeah, this is a good idea. And then you put it down, you never play it again. 3DS is exactly the same. You look at it, it's got, oh, that's impressive, it works. You know, it's a lot of fun. I did the augmented reality thing on it. And I did the face shooter thing. And it all works. It's great. It's a nice piece of tech. But I don't know. I can't really see myself.
You don't want to spend $300 to buy.
I won't. And I mean, it'll be nice to play some games in 3D, but it's just kind of like you get over it very quickly. You know what I mean? You just kind of, oh, it's 3D, but it's just the same.
Well, clearly, you get over it quickly. Hell, you forgot you even played the damn thing.
Yeah, I did, and I wasn't supposed to play it. Like the guy was kind of cheeky. Like I was in game, and the staff guy was playing it, but not. The shop was pretty empty, and he was behind the counter and stuff. And I says, "Is that 3DS?" And he says, "Yeah." He says, "Oh, we're not supposed to show it until next week, but look, I'm playing it now." And I says, "All right, okay."
Hand it over.
Give it here, and then he gave it to me. And then a kid saw me playing it.
Oh, right. Shit.
And the kid, like, I was playing it for a bit, and like the kid was fascinated by it. And I said, like the guy wasn't looking at the time. And I said, "Yeah, kid, like, you know, just play it, you know, because he's not going to let you play it or something." And the kid was blown away. He couldn't believe how amazing it was. And I thought when he was playing it, this kid, you know, this is the audience. You know what I mean? Like, and the mom was going, "Oh, how much is it? Oh, this is really good, isn't it?" I was like, "Well, there you go.
There you go.
One again."
Yep.
So. Okay, back to news.
Back to 3D TV. Mr. Matthew, I believe you had some commentary.
Commentary about... No.
Commentary about no.
I didn't have any commentary about the 3D TV story, no. I
believe you were actually having a comment about Steve-O being...
No, I retract that comment because I'm not sure...
I think he is based off of a conversation we had in the threads about North Korea and how his parents fled North Korea, and if they hadn't,
yes,
he would be.
So you know more than me. I was under the impression that that Steve was Chinese because Parsnip told me Steve was Chinese, but clearly I was misinformed.
It's also a possibility. Maybe he was, or you know, is Chinese, and it just so happens that they were living in North Korea when shit was going down. I don't know.
Yeah, his parents are Chinese, or he's just trying to impress us, like, with a more interesting story.
Sure.
And he hasn't, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it was
what terrible. Actually happened is
Did
Steve
you know
was released.
Was from Iceland?
No. What actually happened was that Steve was released in an exchange of spies with the North Koreans, and that's why we have him in California now.
Yeah.
There's really? There's somebody running around with diamonds embedded in
it. Fitted in well.
Yes.
He's infiltrated us.
That's good. I think we run with that story. Hey, let's talk more TV stuff.
This is better news than our news. Can we just make news up?
We can.
We should make news up. So, LG, another giant Korean electronics company, and Sony have of course been locked in an epic struggle over the rights to the Blu-ray devices, and they finally settled it with Mortal Kombat.
Cool.
decided that nothing should happen.
Yeah.
LG's been trying to get money from Sony, saying that the PS3 Slim, the usage of the Blu-ray technology in the PS3 Slim violates LG's patents, and they shouldn't be allowed to sell them in the U.S. So the two champions of each company met in Switzerland and fought to the death with nunchucks. Neither of them died, and nobody had to pay anybody any money. And the PS3s were eventually released from the dungeon.
They were released. Oh, they were in a cage. You are free, PS3s!
Yes.
I like the new version of the news.
The news, yeah. We just make it up.
Mortal Kombat, Sony, LG, fight.
Yes. To the death.
All right. Speaking of to the death, Mike.
Well, yeah, I don't think
actually,
I should make
that was in poor taste, yes.
That was tasteless, Greg. You're fired. Yeah.
Fired. Welcome to the new host of the Overseas Connection. No, yes, I don't think I should make any jokes about this because this is horrible. Mindstorm Apocalypse has been delayed in the UK and Japan because Japan has some shit going down and it needs to recover. And I think it's the PAL version. I'm not quite sure, but the PAL version of it's the same, and they can't distribute it in the UK as well as Japan, so we have to wait for Mark Storm Apocalypse in respect, not in no shipping issue or anything. It's just as a kind of, you know, it's probably not a clever idea because Mark Storm Apocalypse is all about racing while the kind of there's an earthquake and disasters and volcanoes, and it's completely an innocent coincidence, but I think it's quite a respectable, decent thing for them to do. And it's, you know, it's no one's fault or anything. It's just one of those things. So,
yeah, I mean, I think the game actually is done, and it's actually already been sent. They're just not releasing it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's a shame because it looks like a great game as well. And it's a shame for the guys who make it. They're from Liverpool, I think. And, you know, they've kind of started from scratch, really, like when they made the first Mortal Storm. And they I remember watching them in an interview. And the funniest thing I remember them saying was they didn't know the specs for the PS3 because Sony never told them, right? And...
Oops.
And then they went to the E3 and they put the specs up of the PS3 on the PowerPoint, and they was jotting them down going, ah, yes, we got the specs. And then the next thing they showed was their demo video that they sent to Sony privately as a kind of guess to, like, they guessed how it would look. And then they had to actually make Mortal Storm look that good because they just guessed it. And, they do a pretty good job, I think.
Yeah.
Mortal Storm's a nice looking game, yeah.
It is.
Sad for the developers, obviously sad for Japan, so hopefully it'll be sorted soon.
Well, we've got some more sad news for developers. Mr. Primrose.
Really? Is it me next?
It is really you next.
Okay, yeah. Disney, chopping more jobs again.
Chop.
Yeah, apparently there's 80 more people going, adding to the 250 that were recently let go.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
None of these 80 people went, fuck, I wank. No, next week you're off as well. Shame.
Yeah, you can see it now. They're looking at one another. Yeah, we dodged a bullet last week, huh?
Yeah, they're behind them in the dole queue.
Yeah, so apparently they're saying that they're hoping this is the last round of redundancies, but there you go.
There's only three people left.
There's 4,000 altogether.
Oh, is that? Okay.
They're quite a big studio, but for such a big studio, they don't put out the best games.
I'm sure they do more than just games, though, right?
Probably. They do. Let's move on. Let's talk a little NPD stuff. Mr. Matthew, EA seems like they got a little boisterous this week.
EA does not like NPDs, and here's why, right? The NPDs told EA that they weren't selling enough games.
Bye.
EA said, no, we are selling enough games, and the NPD says, no, you're not. And so what they ended up doing was EA actually took all their receipts down to the NPD people and said, look here, look at all these games that we sold.
And the MPD people then wiped their asses with the receipts and said, that's what we think of your receipts.
I like that idea.
Yeah, that was kind of the end of the conversation. But no, the long and short of it is that EA is telling us that NPDs are not a good representation of game sales because they don't include Steam, Xbox Live, PSN, and the App Store. And they compared it to someone trying to measure music sales and not including downloads off of iTunes, which, of course, would be silly. And really, if you want to record music sales, you also have to include piracy because no one pays for music anymore, except for me because I'm a sucker.
Okay.
So there you have it.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. I wonder if the MPDs would be able to get Steam and Xbox Live and PSN and iTunes to be able to report to them numbers.
They would be able to. The NPD firm does actually have a separate report just for iTunes, Xbox Live, PSN, and Steam. They just don't include in. They just don't include it in their.
Their monthly MPD. That's just
their
stupid.
Monthly MPDs, or maybe it's
stupid.
Well, I'm sure the MPDs are probably trying to charge an additional fee for that report. That report costs like a couple thousand dollars to get.
And it's up to the person to release it, right? They don't have to release it at all. It's just private.
Yep.
Right.
So
yeah. I guess there's a separate report for rentals and digital distribution.
Interesting.
Well, on the subject of MPDs, which are a terrible representation of the gaming industry.
Yeah.
What's going on, Mike?
Well.
Nice, Chris. Nice. Just going to turn everything over to you.
They're irrelevant now, MPD, so let's read them out. Number 10 is Luigi Sports Mix. Sorry.
No,
Mario Sports Mix. Mario Sports Pick and Mix. I like that. It's just a pick and mix minigame. Number 9 doesn't have any numbers from 10 and 9. I'm guessing this is just software sales. Who cares? Right, yes. Number 9 on all three platforms is Michael Jackson, The Experience. I'm sure other children would call it something else. Number 8, come on, he's dead. We can't joke about pedophilia. He's dead.
It's been
yes,
long
we
enough.
Can. He was weird. Right, number 8, this does have a number, 279,900, whatever. Killzone 3. Killzone 3. That's not bad for a PS3 exclusive. Yeah. Well done, those guys. Well, and number 7. 285,500 is Bulletstorm. Available on all the real platforms. So now Wii. And apparently PC's still going. Good for them. Number 6, Zumba Fitness. Zumba is huge at the moment. If you don't know what it is, then you're obviously single because every other woman is doing it. Zumba is the new way to get fit. It's like dancing. It's fun and you don't know you're losing weight. Yeah, whatever. Well done.
Brazilian or something.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I prefer
free haircut with every copy.
fun. Number 5, with 311,000 sold, it's Dead Space 2. So
nice.
EA are in the charts, you know, they're doing okay. Bulletstorm, Dead Space, don't worry. And at number 4, Bitsmove will be happy. There's no number attached to this one for some reason. NBA 2K11. And at number 3, 554K, Just Dance 2 for the Wii. It says only for the Wii, so...
Yeah.
Well, weird. Number 2, Marvel vs. Capcom with 790,000, which is pretty good for a fighting game. People still think fighting games are pretty niche, but they're obviously doing well. And number 1, Call of Duty Blops, which is now the best-selling game in the US ever.
Now that number is incorrect, I can already tell you that.
Okay, so let's make up a number. 4.8 billion copies were sold in the last month. All right, so
Probably not far off, Mike.
They peaked in February 2011 for some reason. Because I don't know. What? Yes. Well, what's the next one?
Right. So we got some life-to-date software numbers, and this is just kind of putting Call of Duty in perspective.
Oh, okay. So this is since it's been released till now,
yes.
I'm guessing.
Yes.
Right, so Pokemon is at the bottom of this list. Pokemon Silver with 2 million. It's pretty good. When did that come out?
God, wasn't it like 2 years ago? Something like that?
Yeah. I thought Pokemon,
Silver, yeah.
Okay, so Donkey Kong Country, which is... I think done surprisingly well. I didn't really think it would do this well, but it sold 2 million as well. That's very respectable.
That is pretty respectable.
He's doing all right. People look to get their, it's own like Donkey Kong. Mario, still drawing in the crowds on the Wii, 8 million. Super Mario, new Super Mario Brothers on the DS, 9 million. And Call of Duty Black Ops is 13.7 million. And bear in mind, Super Mario Brothers on the DS was released about 4 years ago.
That's insane.
Phenomenal. And hardware sales, let's just quickly go through these because I'm getting sick of my own voice already. PS3 is at the bottom of the list, but it's is that a 12% increase from last month or from
last year? Yeah.
Is that last year's February?
Correct.
Okay. So, yes, it's up from last year. Well, they all are, so I won't read that bit. The Wii second with 454,000, and the Xbox 360 is still top with 535,000.
Yeah, pretty strong numbers for the industry.
Yeah. So everybody's up. That's not bad.
No, not bad at all. And honestly, I wouldn't think February would be a time for strong hardware sales. You'd think kind of a lull, you know, January might be everybody spent their Christmas, you know, money, and so February would be, well, they're playing their new systems now.
It's Valentine's Day. Everybody's getting Xboxes for their sweeties.
I can just see it now. Oh, baby, what did you get me for Valentine's Day? I got you an Xbox 360 with Gears of War 2.
With Zumba.
Really? Yeah.
There's some interesting stats at the bottom. Well, 22 games sold over 100,000 copies, which is up from last year, which was 20 games sold over 100,000 copies. And Kinect bundles outsold the Move bundles 5-1.
Yeah, so a lot of this information, I guess, came forward from one of the Webbush Morgan analyst calls. And that's kind of how these numbers get leaked out now. Because the companies themselves, unless they do really well, aren't saying shit. Like, Sony wasn't releasing anything about this month.
I'd love a company just to come out and go, oh, we didn't really sell many.
we don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, Sony comes out, it's like, yeah, we didn't really sell that many moves this month. So they didn't move, you know, they just... That it was shit. I would love a company to that. It'd be great.
It would be a first for sure.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Break.
Yeah, I think it is. It's time for the break. Let's do this break thing.
Can we have a 4 minute nap, please?
God, I would love a nap. All right, that's it. Nap time. We'll be back after the break.
We'll be back next week.
I hear a gunshot echo in the night. It's quiet here on Nelson Bay when Wookiees get their camp on. I take him out with my 4x loop sight, but he'll be back to piss me off as soon as he can respawn. I see a camping asshole in our base, waiting to steal our chopper so he can fly around and rape us. I take my engineer kit in my hand and say, hurry boys, the Hind is after you. Gonna take all the black ops and every away from you.
Anything that a million C4 whores could ever do. Let's bring the pain down in America. While we're at it, let's tear them a new one on both our lists too. Gonna squad up and play some Rush tonight, hoping to find a lobby that isn't mostly full of douchebags. C4 on the UAV ain't right. If that's their plan, we'll raid their base and steal the driver's dog tags. Better fall back as victory's in sight. Hurry, boys, the tank is after you. Gonna take all the black ops and every away from you. Ain't nothing that a million C4 whores could ever do. Let's bring the pain down in America. While we're at it, let's tear them a new one on both our lists too. Let's bring the pain down in America. While we're at it, let's tear them a new one on both our lists too.
We're back from the break, and
well, I feel better now.
I do. It was an extended break. I mean, like weeks, not really.
Greg, guess what?
Yes.
This.
I love that music because that means it's new release time, and well, hey, we're going to talk new releases on the Wii this week. On the retail shelves, you got Fit in 6. Yes, Fit in 6, not 5, not 4, not 3, not 2, not 1, but Fit in 6. The Fit in 6 camera bundle.
From Al Harrison's got a flow wacky wave of the flow wall, man. Please add it.
I also have Maximum Racing Drag and Stock Racer, or you can go with Maximum Racing GP Classic Racing. Take your pick.
I'm waiting for Minimum Racing.
Yep, yep. Oh, if you don't like racing, you can go Top Shot Arcade.
Nope.
Yep, yep. If you want that, you can also get it bundled in with the old Top Shot Elite. Yep, yep. Yep. And if you don't like shooting, well, you can always go with the old tennis. Top Spin 4 comes out this week on the Wii.
Well, that's straight out the top draw.
It is. Speaking of T-type games, Trackmania Built to Race.
Yeah, brilliant.
Rounds out the list. That's it for the retail. On the WiiWare side, we got Light. It's kind of elite, though, because it's got two eyes, so L-I-I-G-H-T.
Light.
And on the demo front, Mix Superstar out this week, so if you want to pick that up, it's free. On to the PS Triple. Okay, so at this point, gonna have to break the fourth wall here. We had the recording go terribly, terribly wrong at this point, and even though Mike Chin insisted everything was going to be fine, it would record okay, sadly, it did not. So, for the sake of not repeating the travesty that was last week's podcast, listening to Mr. Richard Primrose being all Skypey, I am re-recording this section. So, without further ado, here we go. PS3, new releases this week. On the retail front, we've got Art... Boy, this is a tough one to say, folks. I'm telling you right now, I don't know how to really pronounce this. Artenolico Oga Nell of Arceal. Go figure. If you really are interested in this game, then you probably already know what it is. Otherwise, probably going to want to pass on it. Hey, Dance Broadway out this week. Fit in 6 also out this week. Homefront hits the PS3 this week. MotoGP 2010 and 11. We've got Top Spin 4 gracing the shelves. And Warriors Legends of Troy, the God of War ripoff game. And then finally, Yakuza 4 hits the retail shelves this week. On the PSN front, Hard Corpse Uprising and Slam Bolt Scrappers. On the minis front, you've got Ancient Game Treasure Mill, Enigmo, and Pix and Love Rush. PS1 Classic this week, Parasite Eve, and on the demo front, a bevy of demos out for the PS3 owners. Crysis 2 multiplayer demo is out free to all. Mortal Kombat should be coming out this week, as well as Plants vs. Zombies. And PlayStation Move Heroes demo out this week. And then there's also a free demo for Slam Bolt Scrappers. So, go check it out if you want it. It's there. On to the Xbox 360. A much shorter list this week. Homefront and Top Spin 4 hit the retail shelves along with Warriors Legend of Troy. Xbox Live Arcade this week, you've got Full House Poker. So all the big poker fans out there, well, you get a chance to poker. DLC side, you've got Deals of the Week for St. Patrick's Day, all kinds of Avatar Green, Leprechaun-y stuff. Halo Reach Defiant Map Pack comes out this week, so if you're interested in the old Halo Reach, it's there. And, of course, on all platforms, you've got Rock Band updates, and, of course, on the Xbox 360, some Lips add-on songs. And then last but not least, games on demand this week, Halo Reach, and a little news flash, they reduced the price on it. So it's actually, I believe, going for $29 now on demand, so you can pick it up and go from there. Anyway, that's it for the new releases. Alrighty, so Mike, what would you guess? Big release this week? Is it Homefront?
Gotta be. Has to be.
Yeah.
I'm quite looking forward to. I'm gonna try Mortal Kombat demo. I think I'm a big Mortal Kombat fan. Back in the days, Mortal Kombat 2. Yeah. So.
What's Yakuza 4 supposed to be like?
It's like Yakuza 3, but zombies.
I've never played that, any of it.
There is.
It's like an open world. GTA game with fighting in it and weird shit and but it's like very Japanese.
Yeah,
very, very Japanese.
Nice. Yeah. Like Japanese.
No, not pedophile nice, Rich. No, it is
it's zombies. It's weird. It's like that. Zombies. Plus zombies.
Yes, plus zombies, which probably makes it good.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be getting a solicitor on this because I've had enough of Greg's assertion.
All right, let's move on. It's time we check into the old community mailbag.
Sorry.
Community ball bag.
I was was not on Facebook at all. I swear to God. Yeah.
That's the mail, Pop.
Yep, that's the mail, Pip.
Yep, any mail for us?
All right, Mr. Primrose, this is that time of the podcast where you kind of take over.
Yes. I had a question going out this week, and I'd like to put a call out to anybody that's listening. And there's a lot of people that are active on Twitter and stuff. If you'd like to make a suggestion for the question of the week, if you put one in around about Thursday or Friday, I will gather up all of your potential questions and possibly issue one for the next show. But this one was multiplayer favourites. So what do you like most? Tell us what you like. Hardcore, normal, Slayer, Griffball, Rush, Conquest. What's your favourite multiplayer modes and stories? And if you're not a multiplayer fan, what's been your favourite co-op experiences? So just getting a bit of feedback from the community, as it were.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. So we've got some tweets.
Yeah, do we want to throw this around the room real quick?
Yeah.
Virtual world room. I'll start it off. I mean, for me, I tend to gravitate more to hardcore. I usually like those games better.
On Call of Duty?
Yeah, especially Call of Duty.
But not Battlefield.
Yeah. I haven't really ever felt the need for Battlefield for hardcore, whereas in Call of Duty, I felt the need to go on the hardcore side just because, people are bullet sponges otherwise. And with the lag on top of that happens often in those matches, it can be problematic. So I like the fact that when I play a shooter and it only takes a couple bullets to kill somebody, that works for me.
Do you know why I like hardcore in Call of Duty?
Do tell.
Because it opens all of this choice that we were talking about earlier,
mm-hmm.
with the amount of things you've got to choose from. I think that is dramatically narrowed when you're playing core with the older Call of Duty. When you had stopping power and juggernaut,
right.
It basically narrowed down the choices of what you could have. But if you're playing the hardcore, you've got more of a choice of what you'd be kitting yourself out with. Your loadouts, as it were.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's why I've always liked it. But I don't like it on Battlefield. Because I prefer to be able to use all of the gadgets, like the spotting.
Yeah, that...
Your motion sensors and all that sort of stuff.
It does bother me when the hardcore mode actually eliminates out actual gadgets that you have earned in the game. That, to me, never made sense, but oh well. I'm kind of a Slayer person over Griffball, have to definitely say that. And I tend to like more conquest-type games as opposed to the rush mode. I like basically trying to hold down areas and capture them instead of just constantly having to move to the next spot. So that's me. Mike, what about you?
Yes, I mostly play on Call of Duty, just normal headquarters, but I'll follow the crowd. I don't mind hardcore or normal. I don't really play that much Search and Destroy though. On Halo, I love Rocket Races. It's by the best thing I've ever done in my life. As multiplayer gaming, I love it. It's just so much fun, but I don't play that much. But and Conquest on Battlefield. So and a co-op experience. Gears of War is...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Lovely. Forgot about that question. Yeah, co-op, Gears of War, definitely. Horde mode.
Gears of War. Halo, I have a lot of fun. Halo 1.
Firefight mode was pretty sweet in the Halo games.
ODST.
Yeah.
I just... The very first Halo in Gears of War, like, I loved it. Love that. So, yeah. Yep.
Mr. Matthew, what about you?
So... I tend to go towards the hardcore game modes on the Call of Duty and the Battlefield, mainly because I'm a terrible shot, and so I want, when I do hit something, I want it to have an effect.
So your response much more honest than my response.
Yeah. I suck, so on the off chance that I do hit somebody, I prefer them to go down. Let's see. For Halo, I'm a Griffball person. Again, because I suck at Halo, but with the big hammer, every now and again, I can get some kills and lead the way for someone to score in Griffball, and it makes me feel good. Co-op experience, it's close tie between the Red Dead co-op expansion pack and...
Yeah, that was good, yeah.
And Splinter Cell Conviction's co-op missions.
Yeah, they were really good. I enjoyed those, yeah.
Fired up.
So those are my two.
Especially the ending, eh? At the ending of Splinter Cell.
Yeah, that was kind of a surprise. That was kind of funny.
Yeah, transvestites they were. Mm. I never saw that coming.
Yeah, and then the aliens showed up, which always messes me up.
But you know what? You should start to expect it. They always show up.
There are always aliens.
Mm. Aliens.
Mr. Primrose.
Cowboy versus aliens.
Yeah, I would say co-op wise, Borderlands has been one of my favourite.
Another good
co-ops.
One.
Co-ops. Yeah.
Spent
hours on that, and with a group of people that were just constantly dipping in and out, and it was more or less as if you were just waiting for a slot to become free, so you could just go in for a couple of hours, and yeah, I really enjoyed that. That was like over Christmas period when it first came out. Big mention for Hardcore Search and Destroy, because I think it is the one true tactical mode that you've got in Call of Duty that's really good to play, and I really like the way that the cameras have changed that. And for driving wise, I think I'm different to you two guys. I'm one that likes the arcadey stuff a bit more than the
series. You do.
So I'd go the best laughs and stuff that I've had on Xbox Live, and it was pre-gaming for the elderly as well, so just picking up with some guys that I used to work with was Flat Art Ultimate Carnage.
Oh, yeah.
Just fun and games on that, man. Love that. Great stuff. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, so community stuff. We had some stuff on the tweets that came through. First thing was from Danny Thorpe, which is a Superstar List. She's hardcore Search and Destroy. Yeah. Good game mode. Griffball and Rush for Battlefield Bad Company. She put a, I can't remember if she put a screenshot up of something that we used to tool around with on the first Battlefield Bad Company, where you know how you've got the tracer darts?
Right.
When you used to spawn at the beginning of a match, is you'd all get the tracer darts out, or your squad members, and just completely pummel one of your teammates with tracer darts and let them run around so they're completely sparkling with red darts.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Which looks cool. Then Kevin Knight put up that he's a Griffball man as well. See, I've just been introduced to this Griffball and I find it great fun. So
it is pretty fun.
Something out for that.
I've never played it.
It's a good laugh. If you like Rocket Racing, this is a game for you.
It sounds like something I'll get into.
Then we also had a OT84, which is Davey. I play Blops with this man a fair bit. He always goes for the hardcore, so that he can get the team killing in, because he is prone to shooting his own teammate by accident. And he also wrote in as well separately about the fact that everybody's doing free for all at the minute and just jumping on the back into a lobby, and yeah, that's cool. That's great fun. Enjoying that at the moment. Then IP from Theme Xbox basically sent in that he's a Rush man because he thinks that Conquest is a bit too diluted. I go for both. I like to dip toes in both modes for that.
Yeah.
Cool.
We had one forum response, I should say. And this is
Jesus Christ, I just seen what I've got to read out. Oh my god!
From Parsnipnose 3000, he had this to say: there are too many memorable moments for me to mention, but here are a few. Hunting for those rude little gnomes with Skullthrax in Fable 3. No, I don't mean Dino. Fable 3. Those little gnomes were a pain in the ass to find. So then, of course, the previously publicized Fable baby making with CP. Anytime you're hooking up with CP for a little under the cover action, that's a little memorable. Not that I would know. I'm just saying.
Oh yeah.
I'm never playing Fable again.
Whore.
You trollop. Alright. There's another which always makes me smile, and it's now very old and cheap. Cheap game, The Outfit. Skullthrax and I had a blast playing split-screen co-op. I don't know how it stands up to what we're used to today. Turning around and seeing Skullthrax wheeling one of our teammates across a field in a wheelbarrow is a sight I'll remember for a long time. And said, oh, and finishing Halo 3 co-op in my sleep. I fell asleep on my couch only to wake up drooling on my arm an hour later just as Skullthrax finished it for us and made about 400 gamer score pop up for both of us. That's pretty funny. And then last but not least, probably my best ever was dropping a care package on my wife's head a fraction of a second after she spawned. It was quite a surprise seeing as we were in the living room watching The Biggest Loser at the time.
that man's got a tap mind.
Yes, he does. Let's move over to the emails. And Mr. Mike, I believe you have an email to read.
Yes, an essay to read. Okay, here we go. This is from David Brown, David the Alien. Good evening, gentlemen. I have been playing some different games this week. Well, mostly Medal of Honor. Just been playing the multiplayer side of this game quite a bit in general over the past few weeks. Different game modes, etc., and having fun with it. Yes, I'm having issues, but nothing too much, as I'm just having fun. Good for the fun. Well done with the fun. Forza 3. Truck Championship recommended this past weekend. Good times had by all, especially Benny Bear in that second race. Lol. Oh, inside jokes that no one understands apart from you and Benny Bear. Brilliant. Began around 2 a.m. and finished well at 4:45 a.m. due to the clocks going forward. Ugh, yeah, not the best, but it was fun, so worth it. Winning Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. Finished the Porsche DLC, so yay, I have all the chivos for that game, but honestly, it's just a bonus as the game is a lot of fun. Going back, trying to get better times on certain events as friends come along and take first place on the autolog, etc. Torchlight, loving it, hack and slash, getting loot, Diablo style, great fun, just needs to be co-op though. Some frame rate issues. Frame rate issues, but nothing too severe, IMO. Put about 10 to 12 hours into it so far, and I don't think I am even close to being done. As I seem to screw up the start or the continuation of the game and start from where I previously replayed through a few levels ago. But he doesn't know why. But it just means he gets more loot. So, good for him. Bulletstorm. Jesus Christ. Bulletstorm wasn't... Love you, Dave. Wasn't going to get this, but decided last week I need to make a bigger email, so let's get it. Played some Anarchy with Bubba Gump on Friday night and had a blast. I haven't laughed so much in the game for a while. Had no idea what I was doing. Whether you get enough points to progress or not doesn't really matter. It's just a blast with friends. Played some more Anarchy mode on Sunday night with XTAL 2381 and had a blast again. I only have wet on my toes and he's played a little bit of the single player and the Echo mode, but yeah, he's gonna play a little bit more of that. Played some Blops on Saturday. Forza 3, he's already talked about, skipping through this paragraph.
Mike, FIFA. You're fading, Mike, you're fading.
I know, yeah, but that paragraph, I mean, he's bringing up games, he's bringing up games that he's already mentioned. You know, he's that, the EO's that long that he's probably played the game again, you know? Okay, let's, eagerly trying to fast forward time today. Good luck with that. So I can leave work to pick up Homefront, all in capital letters, from the Best Buy on my way home. Wifey's working till late, so I'm eating fast food to dinner. Winning, so I can play a little while longer. Really excited for this title, although many are on the fence. Searching social sites today, the general vibe is good. Single player, a little short, but multiplayer, although not very many game types, just sucks you in. Pretty much what you said, yep. Greg. He's been looking at the Metacritic and he's seen some good reviews. Overall, he's excited for it, and he says it's a great offering by THQ and the people that make it. How do you say their name?
Chaos.
The people that make
chaos.
It. Just chaos. Chaos. Oh, is that Chaos?
Chaos.
Okay.
Yep.
And
like this email.
It's a new
That's
IP.
Chaos.
It's Chaos, and he's glad to see it's a new IP.
Chaos. just go to the next paragraph.
Keep playing with that. I'm just looking for this paragraph to see what he's saying. They need to raise Rich. They need to raise the bar on the sequel. So you know, who knows? They might do a sequel. Won't be hearing from me next week.
Aww.
No, sorry, I didn't mean that.
I was waiting for someone to go. Thank God. No, Dave. No, we love it. We love it. But we might have to shorten this email next time we read it out. Did I say that or think?
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah. Won't be hearing from me next week, but I can't get something together for the next couple of days as I'm going to Boston on Friday. I'm at work until Tuesday night. I even tried to extend my trip to Kent in this past weekend as I would have loved to have gone to PAX East, but it just never
Can you imagine what would happen if we went to PAX?
We would have a podcast dedicated to his email.
Episode whatever, David the Alien's email. Have a great show and hurry up recording so Mr. Gregory can get on Homefront. David the Alien.
It can be exhausting.
He's kind of deflecting that from happening, isn't he? By sending
the
long,
I know.
It is ironic. He tells us to hurry up. Clearly, Greg, he doesn't want you to play Homefront. He's trying to catch up your level or something.
Clearly. Clearly. All right. Mr. Matthew, why don't we turn this over to you? We don't, as far as I know, have any iTunes or Zune reviews at the moment. So, playdates. Let's talk community.
Right. So, in the community, we have something new going on. This is how elite we are with two threes. The fellas at Ninja Bee have agreed to sponsor a competition for the Gaming for the Elderly community and provided us 5 codes for Ancients of Aruga. If you don't know who Ninja Bee are, they have made such great titles as Outpost, Kaloki X, Band of Bugs, Cloning Clyde, and of course the our real-time strategy without the fighting Keflings games.
Yeah.
Which we all like.
Yeah.
So, if you want to win Ancients of Uga, you have 5 options. Count them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1. Run away from David the Alien's email. Run away. Retweet our announcement. Tweed is a fabric that Robert Langdon wears in Dan Brown's novels. Anyway,
I would like to point out this information was sent to us.
Hey, listen, Greg. It is a poor musician that blames his instrument. We just got to go with it. Retweet our announcement tweet, and this will be a luck of the draw on the Gaming for the Elderly Twitter.
Right. So basically, announcement. When you see their announcement, retweet it. You have a shot.
You want to do this, Greg? Is that what you're telling me?
Sorry. I'm controlling. I know. It's a problem.
You just got to back off.
Sorry.
You're not going to be around forever, Greg. You know, you're not getting any younger.
Oh, I'm trying.
All right. Number 2. There will be an announcement thread on the Gaming for the Elderly forums announcing this competition, and all you have to do is post something in that thread. It can be a letter. It can be a number.
Just go there. One.
It can be just a random word of your choosing from Webster's Dictionary. Anything. And that will be a luck of the draw. There will be a high score competition on a game yet to be determined, which I'm sure will be explained in the announcement tweed and thwed.
Yes.
On the Gaming for the Elderly forums, like how I did that.
There was some talk of possibly like a Doritos Crash Course because it was free. And a decent game, at least, that maybe fastest times,
so,
kind of thing.
A free, decent game of Doritos Crash Course.
Yes.
Yeah, fair enough.
To win somebody else.
And the fourth way that you could possibly win this, we're apparently going to be coming up with a new slogan for the Gaming for the Elderly. And so you can make an entry into the slogan contest. And a podcast question. Respond by email to a podcast question. It's a question that you have to answer correctly, which I will tell you in one moment. Of the correct answers, we will randomly select a winner.
And do we know the answer?
Yes, we do know the answer.
Okay. Yes, we know the answer. And the question is, what was the name and the year of release of the very first home console system?
And here's
the legalese. No one can win more than one code. So even if you win in all 5 categories, you get 1 code, and I guess we'll just go down the list from there to make sure that we give 5 unique individuals 5 codes. I would just like you to shut the fuck up.
No, because people will get frustrated with this.
Okay. I get frustrated by a lot of things.
Right. When we're saying the first home console system,
yes,
right, are we talking as in when they started getting called consoles, or when we're saying when they were called home entertainment systems, as in Atari and stuff like that?
The very first home-based video game system.
So the very first system that you could have in your home that could play a game.
Yes. Yeah. It is not Nintendo, I'll tell you now.
So is it Nintendo 64.
Okay, it's not Nintendo, I will tell you.
Oh, it's not Nintendo.
Is it Game Boy? Game Boy.
Is it the jungle? Is it the jungle?
Yes. 3DS.
Not Nintendo. Not
jungle.
Not Nintendo. GameCube.
Right.
Moving on.
And if you're looking for some old school shooting, this Sunday at 6, the veteran gamers will be playing Call of Duty 4.
Yeah.
So enjoy
bring it
that.
Back. We're gonna bring it back.
Yep.
We're gonna rewind it back.
Me and Duke want to do an experiment and play Call of Duty 4 and see what it's like.
I don't know how you should. You shouldn't be doing Call of Duty 4 while you're doing experiments because.
Oh no, that is. Yeah, I see what you mean, but that is the experiment. So it will be. Okay.
I'm not sure what hypothesis you're seeking to prove, but we'll talk about your scientific methods later.
Where'd you get that preposterous hypothesis from?
Happy birthday to Mike Chin's mouth, which is born every day. Happy birthday! Happy birthday to Cybernaut. Happy birthday to At the End of Time. Happy birthday to Othmok. And happy birthday to Tamps. Happy birthday. And welcome to the new members, Retro Elder, Bernie 11. We're going to have a weekend at his house. And Simon Fletcher. Ah, giggity, but weekend at Bernie's. Yuck, 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 yuck.
Simon Fletcher, we kind of went over that name. You know?
Yes.
Let's just say it a couple of times. Simon Fletcher.
Simon welcome. Fletcher.
Simon Fletcher. Welcome.
Yes.
And, yes.
Sigh.
Sigh
to his friends. Well done, Simon Fletcher. You stopped the Hour Podcast.
I know.
Greg.
I know.
Waiting on you.
Simon, you just joined and you stopped the whole podcast.
The entire production to a screeching halt.
Well done, Simon Fletcher. Was sent some pertinent information to what you were just reading off, Mr. Matthew. So the correct Twitter for the contest is at G4TE.com, but that's all spelled out. So G4TEDOTCOM. So
yes, indeed.
For that. And let's see what else. It is going to be Doritos Crash Course. Indeed, Doritos Crash Course, and it's going to be fastest time, and it'll be USA 1 Safety First, which is the course. So there you go. Fastest time. Boom.
So take that and rewind it back.
Yes. So, yeah, that's it. That's all there was to that. It's time to really close.
Sweet.
It's time to close this podcast up.
Yes.
It's been interesting. Yeah. Yeah. So emails, let's just start rolling this out. Emails, Mr. Matthew,
if you want to email the show, for instance, if you might want to answer the question to try to win a code, you would send that email to ocpodcast, all lowercase, all one word, @gmail.com. But this dot is actually a dot and not spelled out D-O-T. ocpodcast@gmail.com.
True. Very true. Mr. Primrose, if you were looking for someone to tweet the show or follow us.
Yes. If you want to follow us, we would be on OC_podcast, and that podcast account will be attempting to win one of these codes just so that we can regurgitate it on the show next week. Okay.
Brilliant. Yes. I guess that really kind of – it brings us to the wrap-up. So, Mike, why don't you go first?
Yo.
Throw out some just closing shout-out.
Okay, well, I will shout-out. I was up for an award. I was nominated for an award, and we was invited to Leicester Square in London, and we lost, right? But I will say this. We went out the night before with the other team, like those four teams – nominated with the team that won, and they were super nice, and I'm really happy for them, and we're going to work together in the future anyway.
Did they buy you dinner?
But there was this funny thing that happened. I might as well say it. We was walking down the street, right, in London, and this guy comes up to me and says, "Hey," one of the people in their group, he's 19, so he's really young,
right?
And he's like, "Hey, lads, you looking for some women, some strippers," right? And The young lad Jordan just went, yeah, we are, yes, yeah, we are. I went, no, all right. And he walked in, right, because he just actually walked in and got his wallet out. I went, Jordan, no, you come back. And we only just met them that night and last night, and it was such a laugh. We had a great time. We didn't go in a strip club or anything, but they're really nice lads, and I'm so glad that they won it because the other teams wasn't as friendly as them, let's say. And I'm really happy they won. Also,
why the hell didn't you take him in a strip club, for God's sake?
Because it was £20 in.
You're 20 quid. You're depriving.
Dude, £20 in. I said to him, come to Birmingham, there's a strip club that'll let you in for £7, right? £7. Don't pay £20 to go in a strip club. You're mad, right?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You have to start talking about quality of women, because for £7, it may not be that good.
I said, Jordan, you give me that £20. I'll give you a hard on and won't finish you off. That's what it's like to go in a strip club.
You're getting a little personal now.
Dude, think about it, Greg. That's $40, man, just to get in the door.
Cost of living is expensive over there.
I will also share. Come on, let's not talk about strippers. They don't have souls. I will also shout out, going from strippers to my dad, right? My dad has joined Twitter, everyone.
Wow.
I believe the fabric of the interwebs will unravel soon.
Yes.
My dad he does go on the internet a little bit, but my dad is, let's see how old he is. He is 67. All right,
Mike.
So, yeah.
Is he following you?
I hope so. Yeah.
Following him?
Yes. And his Twitter name is Dogon John, even though his name's Vic. I told him this, but whatever.
It's the anonymity factor. He doesn't want to be known.
Yeah. No, exactly. But it says your name's Vic. It's on your Twitter account anyway. So it's like, well, whatever. And he's into space and astronomy. So follow Dogon John. If you like that kind of stuff, he's...
He needs to set an account up called Shit Chin Says, just to put out your little quotes and stuff.
Yeah, you should do that. And also, what he said. And also a shout-out to Annoying Navi. I tweeted about Zelda, and Annoying Navi tweeted back to me saying, hey, listen! I quite like that. I thought that was funny. That made me laugh. And also a shout-out Chris Matthew for tweeting... This show is turning into a train wreck. Look at it.
Just letting you know.
So, yeah. Chris, go.
Right. I want some family shout-outs this week. I went home to Florida, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, and I got to visit with my brother and sister, my brother Austin and my sister Kylie, and they found out that I have this podcast. I had never told them before, and it never dawned on me to tell them. And they like games. They're like, so you have a podcast about games. We want to listen. So hopefully they listen this week. What's up?
I would like to just throw in now we expect Austin and Kylie to write into the show and give us their thoughts.
That might be a bridge too far, but I'll see what's up. You might not want to hear what my brother has to say. He is batshit crazy.
I totally want to hear now.
So – I took my sister Kylie and her husband, Cal, to a restaurant that's called Texas de Brazil. And it's a Brazilian steakhouse. I'm going to try to tell this story in as short a fashion as possible. So if you've ever been to one of these, essentially they put some mashed potatoes and some bananas on the table so that you can tell your mother you ate your vegetables. The whole point of the place is to eat as much steak and pork and lamb chops and chicken as you can. And it's all done in the traditional Brazilian style. And it's absolutely amazing. So my brother-in-law, Cal, who's got kind of a surfer dude kind of vibe about him, said some really funny things completely on accident. So I'll just leave you with a couple of quotes, from my brother-in-law, Cal, as we were dining at the Brazilian steakhouse. He said, this is really awesome, but I just wasn't ready for all the meat in my face. And then the second one was as we were getting ready for dessert, as we're trying to contemplate whether we want to eat dessert or not, his quote was, I'd love some dessert, but the meat just does something inside your body and fills you up.
And of course he realized what he was saying, but he said it anyway because he knew we'd all get a laugh. So he's a good sport, and we had a good time. So that's why I didn't play a lot of games this weekend, because I was traveling to Florida and had a nice visit. Let's see. I wasn't paying attention, so someone go.
Primrose.
Yeah. I want to shout out Paranormal Activity 2, the film. Because
is that any good?
It shit the living daylight.
Is it better than 1, in your opinion?
Oh, mate, it's brilliant because they link it up with the first one so well.
Okay.
It's really good. The story's really good. Okay. The only thing that I was a bit disappointed at was the first one, you didn't know anybody that was in it. They're just complete strangers to you. But one of the women that's in it was in Sons of Anarchy in the first series. So it blew the illusion of it being reality.
Real, yeah. Okay. Well, everybody knows that it's not anyway by the sequel.
No, but it's good. I love it. It's good to have films out there that make you jump. Because not many of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that, and also shout out to my bed upstairs for staying away from me this week and letting me...
Shout out to the Sandman to for missing you out this week. Yeah.
Shout out to Red Bull for the free drinks and stuff. And great.
Sponsored by Red Bull.
Yeah, man. Definitely.
That'd be funny if you were sponsored by Red Bull and you fell asleep. Oh,
that's rough.
I'm going to write that down. That's a funny idea. I'm going to write that down.
Yeah.
Greg. All right. For me, let's see. Shout outs to Mr. Marcanix. He kind of popped up a little bit onto the boards, and I eagerly await his return to gaming. And you know what? Hey, Mark, whenever you're ready, buddy, we are all here for you. Big shout out to David the Alien. He not only does he send us long emails, but he also is a generally nice guy. And he actually came across an article about misdiagnosed hearing loss that actually is spot on a situation that happened with my son, and he forwarded that to me, and I actually took that with me to his therapist, and so it proved valuable. So thank you for that. And last but not least, a big shout out to Daniel, known also as DGA93, for filling in on my team this week in Forza 3. Without you, we would have not done so well. And that's pretty much it for the old shout outs. And if you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
People say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
And of course, you have links to great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out. VGHub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery. And, on that note, I will wrap up with a little quote. Back to the quotes. Couldn't go too long without it. Broadcaster Graham Taylor had this to say. They've got a telepathic. Pathetic. Well, it's not pathetic. Oh, just forget it.
Sorry, I completely threw me off.
He sounded confused.
I'm confused.
I think we're all confused, and as good a time as any, it's time to go. Ready?
Jump up for
one!
Bitchin! Good night.
Big smooth out. Oh, yeah.
You're not getting me saying cheerleader porn, not after... Oh, shit. Not after the Death Smiles thing.
All right, so now that we actually know we have people here...
That was all right.
Did you get drunk?
I don't drink, do I, Greg?
No, you don't, but one of these days you're going to be like, oh my God, I had a beer, and now I can't stop.
Now I'm addicted to it. I love you.
I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that.
Just gonna drink.
I like you.
Fair enough.
All right, we're all situated. Mr. Matthew, beer in hand.
Yep.
Skulldogger, a cock in hand.
Yeah, and scratching.
Scratching. You got a problem?
Yeah.
My guess would be a lot of problems.
Don't we all? Don't we all? Doing well. All right, here we go.
Yeah, really?
We haven't got David the Alien's email yet. Oh, shit.
Tweeting.
It's a big one.
That's what she said.
And really?
Really? Love you, Greg.
Okay, so let's just stop right now. Could you guys not hear me at all?
Kind of.
Kind of. I could hear you come in and out, but I couldn't really hear, like, make out what you were saying.
It'll record okay, Greg. It'll record fine.
Okay. But let me do this.
I didn't talk about it, but I had Rogue Warrior.
Actually, I think you talked about that last week, didn't you? Or maybe you had it, you said you were getting it. It was coming. Something.
Yeah. Well, I talked about it on the
games anyway. Either way, not a good game.
No, I have a theory about it. That's all I'll say. You can listen to the veteran games about my theories. It's too long to
explain. All right, I'll give it.
Sweet.
All right,
dudes.
Peace.
Yeah, man.
Hasta la bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.